When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is supported in part by the Bertha Foundation.
And we're live to four people. Four people are streaming this right now, Lewis Hobber. It's very exciting.
Wow, Dan, that's incredible. Oh, it's almost like having all of our housemates here.
A big thank you to new Patreon supporters, ML Gardam and Tracy Walker. Thank you so much for joining us on Patreon. If you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/irrationalfear. Lewis, we have a live show coming up in a matter of weeks. It's our 100th episode. Let me tell you who's on it. Alice Fraser is on it. Gabby Bolt is on it. Chris Taylor from The Chaser is on it. Some guy called Lewis Hobber is on it.
Fire him.
Dan Illich is on it. DJ Tom Lound is joining us. Also, I booked in a special guest today. Yumi Steins is joining us on the panel as well.
Wow. Is her hat going to fit through the door?
I hope so. I'll talk to Giant Dwarf, see if we can make the doors wide enough to get Yumi Steins and her hat in the door.
Amazing. She's the best.
She's the best. She's so funny. I'm excited to have her. And letting you know, the live show, the 100th live show, is the 10th of February at Giant Dwarf. You can get your tickets in the show notes. I'll add the link there. So please come along. It's our 100th show. And I've got a book that I'm going to make Robbie McGregor read out on the show. It just arrived today from Amazon, My Antifa Lover. It's a... let me read the back of this book. A young congresswoman falls in love with a darling masked protester in Seattle, Washington. After encountering him at a nonviolent burning down of a federal building, she can't tell what is hotter, the fire or her feelings developing for him. It's really exciting stuff. Whoa. My Antifa Lover. I've got to say.
By the right.
Well, that's it. I'm going to spend my time reading it this week and highlighting various passages and getting Robbie McGregor to record them for the live show. I'm very excited about that.
Oh, my God.
By Antifa
Love. That's perfect. Worth the price of admission alone.
I'm recording my end of Irrational Fear on Gadigal land of the Eora Nation. Sovereignty was never ceded. We need a treaty. Let's start the show.
Irrational Fear contains naughty words like Brexit, Canberra, Fed, and Section 45. Irrational Fear recommends listening by immature audiences.
Tonight, GameStop shares hit a new high, but not as high as the 16-year-olds in their parents' basements buying GameStop shares. And the Chinese government is implementing anal swabs to combat COVID in the lead-up to the country's Lunar New Year holiday. In unrelated news, this year's festivities will have a lot more mooncakes than usual. And the New Zealand travel bubble is on hold for 72 hours to give New Zealand enough time to get their rampant case of COVID under control. It's the 29th of January, 2021, and this podcast only has 60% efficacy. This is Irrational Fear.
Irrational Fear!
Just forget to unplug your set.
Welcome to Rational Fear. I'm your host, former Russian opposition leader, Dan Illich. Let's meet our fearmongers for tonight. You may know her from Triple R's Breakfasters. She is one of the best stand-ups in Australia. And if you go to her website, GeraldineHickey.com, you can find out all about Bitcoin in the Netherlands. It's Geraldine Hickey. Jez.
Thanks. Hello, everybody.
Jez, are you? Do you know if your website's been hacked or are you simply into Dutch Bitcoin?
No, yeah, love Dutch Bitcoin, love it. Want everyone to know about it. So, you know, what a great opportunity to let people know. No, I'll let that go. I never kept it updated anyway. So it's, you know, good luck to the Bitcoin people in the Netherlands. That's great.
Geraldine, what do you reckon the crossover is in terms of Venn diagram? Like when they bought that website, they're like, oh my God, Geraldine Hickey fans are going to be flooding in here. And the first thing to think is we're missing the Geraldine content, but we do love Dutch Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's a circle, really. I think you'll find it's not a diagram. It's people, after shows, people come up to me all the time. They go, what can you tell us about Bitcoin in the Netherlands? Well, jump on my website. It'll give you all the info that you need.
And he's part stand-up, part butcher, so we know at least he is bilingual. It's Cam Duggan. G'day, Cam.
Thank you very much for having me. It's great to be here. Very excited about being the least informed person you've ever had on this podcast and also the man who stole Geraldine's website. I do love Bitcoin. It's pretty good stuff. I've been in it since the days of the dark web.
And finally, don't try to phone our next guest because much like business associates of John Ibrahim, his phone is at the bottom of Sydney Harbour. It's Lewis Hobber.
Yeah, I know. I actually got it back.
Oh.
But it was very waterlogged. And now I got the screen replaced in Chinatown and now everything is green and the torch just comes on intermittently. So it just looks like whenever I'm making a call, it looks like I'm sending out a coded message in Morse code to help me.
Help me. I'm being trapped by an endless anecdote.
Yeah, you'll also find out that you get very little sympathy for a dropped phone when the place you dropped it is like on a boat in Sydney Harbour.
Yeah, no one cares.
Yeah, get a new phone, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Sell the yacht, buy a phone.
Coming up, we meet a woman who is spearheading a new campaign to help kids learn about the true history of colonization in schools. We'll ask her, is she trying to kill off bush dancing during PE? But first, a sponsor.
Good evening, paying subscriber. Rupert Murdoch here, saying thanks for my Lifetime Achievement Award. It fills me with enthusiasm for my final days of planetary destruction until I die. Well, let me tell you, I'm far from done. I've ruined democracies in the UK, the USA, and Australia, but there's still pansy little democratic countries around the world that have yet to be torn apart by my lieutenants. Defenseless little New Zealand, I'm looking at you. There's a real movement to silence conservatism, which is why my thousands of publications, TV networks, and radio stations are home to them. And let's not forget MySpace, the future of the internet. Once Facebook and Google are taxed into submission, you'll need an account. You can even put me in your top five friends, if you like. To young people, I say, do what I do. Try to destroy everything before you die, leaving behind a husk of a planet that looks just like my heart. Oh, and buy the Daily Telegraph or the Herald Sun. Confidential this week is particularly sexy, believe me.
All right, always good to have Rupert's money on the podcast.
On you, Rupert.
On you, Rupert. This week's first fear, Albo has done a cabinet shuffle. You know, some people would say that boiling a cup of tea or inflating a tyre is more interesting than a shadow cabinet shuffle. No, not me. Albo's got rid of the left faction's Mark Butler out of the climate energy portfolio and has installed the right faction stalwart, Chris Bowen. Some would say it's like putting an arsonist in charge of the fire brigade. We shouldn't be surprised. This is Australia. After all, we did have Tony Abbott as Prime Minister, who was similarly raising temperatures enough so that they would start, so that he could then presumably play dress-ups to put those fires out. Well, what does this mean? Well, it's a sign that Joel Fitzgibbon, who is the member of the Hunter region, is now running the party from the backbenches. Upset about how much Labor was embracing climate action, Fitzgibbon quit the front bench last year to spend more time with his lumps of coal. He went on RN this week and expressed how pleased he was, saying that Albo's leadership is safe and that Mark Butler was a little too enthusiastic about climate change. Fearmongers, we've only got a few short years left to get our emissions down to zero. Is it possible to be too enthusiastic about climate change? Jez?
What happens in a few short years? Is that when we all die because we haven't done anything?
That's what happens. Yes.
But Joel Fitzgibbon will have a really good job in the coal lobby. So we'll all be dead, but he will be slightly richer before he dies.
Yeah, he will be able to afford a pool with a spa, which will then evaporate.
Yeah. I'm excited. My complaint about the opposition was always that there were too much opposition, and it's nice to just eliminate all of that. Just get rid of
and
any.
Just come together. That's all we want,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly. Unity.
Just coming
build
together.
The pool. Don't even worry about filling it. Just wait for the waters to rise. Done.
just put a big fence around all the oceans and let them be your pool.
Let's get the noodles out, have a good time, I reckon.
It's so strange, like, when you as a voter are going into the polls to decide, like, who you're going to vote for this year when there might be an early election, and you can't kind of see the difference between the parties at all. You know, to have one party that's not really aggressive on climate action and have the opposition party also not really that into climate action, when the biggest existential threat of our lives is omnipresent and bearing down upon us at 100 kilometres an hour. It's so strange.
But it's all about jobs. It's all about jobs, though, isn't it? Like, the Labor Party's about giving people jobs, and there's no bloody jobs. Like, trees will just take all the jobs. And, you know, can't mine. What are they going to do? What's next, you know? So the Labor's bread and butter. They've got to look after their people.
Well, it's more like, it's probably going to be more like toast and butter soon.
It's interesting you talk about jobs. Here is, I'm going to play a little bit of John Kerry talking today about jobs and climate. So this is, the US government is, ever since Biden has come in, they've done incredible things with climate action, which we're going to talk about in this next month's Goompoo coming up. But here's a little bit of John Kerry talking about jobs and climate.
I think that unfortunately workers have been fed a false narrative. No surprise, right, for the last few years. They've been fed the notion that somehow dealing with climate is coming at their expense. No, it's not. What's happening to them is happening because of other market forces already taking place. And what the financiers, the big banks, the asset managers, private investors, venture capital are all discovering is there's a lot of money to be made in the creation of these new jobs in these sectors. So whether it's green hydrogen that is going to come, whether it is geothermal heat, or whatever it's going to be, those are jobs.
Man, why won't anyone tell Joel Fitzgibbon what John Kerry has just said? It's so baffling to kind of figure that out.
It's so incredible that the best opposition to the government right now is Barnaby Joyce. It's coming from inside the building. Albo gets up every day and is getting absolutely dunked on in terms of dismantling the current government by the leader, or I guess not actual leader, but essential leader of the National Party. It's true. It's truly, it's magical, actually.
I just think it's so strange. Like the shuffle today was incredible. Here's what they've done. They've actually gone, and not only have they created the Shadow Minister for Resources, which is Madeleine King, but they have created Labor, this is Labor here, they have created a shadow minister for Queensland resources, because a minister for resources as a whole isn't enough. Why don't they just call that role the minister for Adani? They might as well have done that.
Yeah.
I'm never upset about Queensland getting an extra look in, to be honest. Eight in a row, never forget it. We still got it. Well, you'll never beat us.
Elect Thurston, you know? Let that happen.
Yeah. He'd get it over the big sticks, no worries.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Neither do I, to be honest. I preface that at the start. I did a bit of reading before, tried to start learning how to read. Can't do it. I'm going to wait till this podcast come out and then learn about politics through this medium of me talking about eight in a row. Get me in there, the shadow minister for being a fucking mad dog.
Ken, this is exactly how QAnon started. It's perfect.
Yeah. I don't know what that is either.
You'll learn about Q once you learn to read. It's one of the letters.
Yeah, it's right at the end. Though. I'll quit. I'll quit before I get that far through the book. Irrational Fear.
This is Irrational Fear.
This week's second fear, the Netherlands is losing their shit news now. Yes, in the home of Peter Van and Hoogen Band, they are going Hoogen Goo Goo.
That is a wildly dated reference, guys, jump in. Peter Van and Hoogen Band, Dutch swimmer from the 2000 games? No. Jesus, Dan.
Come on, mate.
Wow, that's impressive to remember that.
Gold medalist 2004 and 2008. So, come on, he's been around. He's the Ian Thorpe.
Did he have a nickname? What was his nickname?
Hoogs, I think.
He was the guy that said he was going to smash the Australian team like guitars, wasn't he?
No, that was the Americans. That was.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know anything about swimming either.
Well, all around the Netherlands, there are small anti-lockdown protests, and they've broken out in their hundreds. They've had it up to their wooden clogs, and they're being forced to stay at home to help curb coronavirus, but they're not having anything of it. Cam, is this kind of the kind of behaviour you expect from the Dutch?
It's kind of weird. Like, coronavirus, like, at this point, you can't still think it's a myth. Like, everyone's doing it. Like, you can't, you know, it's just, like, they're in a lockdown, and it's for 2 weeks. Like, Melbourne, how long did you guys have to do it for, Jess?
Forever.
Yeah, and it's like, and weed is legal there. Just fucking kick your wooden shoes off, have a lay down. For 2 weeks, that's it. 9 p.m. till 4:30. What are you doing? Get your weed early, kick the clogs off.
Jump on Geraldine's website, learn about the Bitcoin.
Learn about Bitcoin in your country.
Invest in your local Bitcoin.
You know, the Netherlands, people in the Netherlands are quite tall. They're like 184 centimetres on average for men, which is huge. You know, being inside is not good for them. They need to get out for a bit of a stretch. That's probably why they're protesting.
Probably do that before 9.
But yeah, but if they know that they're tall, like build bigger houses. And also, here's another question. Where do they rank on the world basketball? They're pretty good, aren't they?
I don't know. I think the Lithuanians are quite good. I'm not too sure about the Dutch. Lewis?
I don't think you hear a lot about the Dutch basketballers, to be honest. Obviously, well, the swimmers. Obviously, we all remember Peter Van den Hoogen Band, and are still talking about him in 2021 because of the impact he made on our lives as Australians. And Dan, just getting the Hoogen Band back together in 2021, it's incredible.
There you go. That's a better reference.
Irrational Fear. 1788, 26 January, for my ancestors, was a pretty little day. When those 12 ships turned up in Sydney, all those years ago, it wasn't a particularly flash day for the people on those vessels either. Irrational Fear.
This week's third fear, Google is asking Australia if they feel lucky as they threaten to pull the pin on search if the news media bargaining code becomes law. It's kind of fun to see how, like, big tech is reacting when, like, a little pain in the ass little Australian government is there to kind of threaten their profits for a little bit. After seeing local news decimated from the movement of ad dollars from publishers to platforms, the news media bargaining code enforces platforms like Google, who scrape data from websites, to pay for it. Fearmongers, could you live without Google, do you think? Lewis, would you be able to live without Google?
I mean, I don't want to use Bing. That is the real truth. Like, since I've started to ponder whether or not I can use Bing, I have genuinely been like, I know people should be paying for news, but I just, I don't, it will hurt me when I have to do that. I mean, maybe I'll just stop learning. Maybe I'll just stop looking for things. Maybe I'll stop searching. The search will be over. I'll realize that what I was actually looking for was inside me all along, and it was my spirit, and it was not where to find the best mechanic in my area. You know what? The real mechanic was me, and I just needed to fix myself first. So who knows? Who knows where this crazy journey could end? But it is like the Australian Google battle is a bit like, when you think of it, as you think, like when you pitch it, it's like, well, it's David and Goliath. It's a little Australia versus big Google. And then you realize that in this instance, David is just Rupert Murdoch in disguise. And it just changed the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like the tech companies, in all honesty, are becoming really bad actors. Do you remember like 15 years ago when digital and technology was like going to be the thing that saves democracy? And everyone's like, oh, the democratization of the internet, blah, 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 blah. But like over the last 15 years, we've clearly seen the degradation of democracy because of these big tech platforms, because of the spreading of misinformation. And it might not be the right kind of policy to kind of bring in to curtail them, but I also feel like tech companies should be held accountable for decimating news services around the world. But this might not be the right policy. But I feel like they need to be held accountable somehow.
Yeah. I think paying for news and like not stopping hate speech, slightly different arguments. But definitely something needs to be done at some point about paying for news articles, for sure. I must admit, I do sometimes, I've read arguments on both sides of this, and sometimes I do sort of flip-flop on it, and I do get to the point where I'm like, oh, something should be done, but is it this?
Yeah. Alan Kohler's done some maths on it. Google is kind of offering like a peace offering to publishers. They've got this program called News Showcase. It's about a $300 million a year program, and Alan Kohler's worked out that the Australian revenue as a total of Google's is about 0.2%. So 0.2% of that $300 million works out to be about $9 million. And he's worked that out. He's like, if you split that up between 30 publishers, that's about $300,000 each, or three journalists each. Which is kind of like, I guess, you know, it gets better than nothing.
Wow.
That's wild.
What are the alternatives? Geraldine, what would you use instead of Google?
I'd call my mum and probably give, if I wanted to know about rugby, I'd give Cameron Duggan a call.
Yeah, ring me up, Jess.
How many in a row? 10.
Yeah.
10.
There's also, there's Yahoo as well. It's still got a Yahoo email.
Yahoo's great. So, you know, Yahoo's still going strong. If you wanted things from 15 years ago, that is the best place to go. Like if you type in best movies near me on Yahoo, you'll get a list of cinemas screening The Devil's Wears Prada. And you're like, oh, great. That's where I can see Devil's Wears Prada. Yeah.
Are they going to keep the I'm feeling lucky button? Because if they just take away the actual search and I'm feeling lucky, then I'm fine with that.
Irrational fear.
Do you Yahoo?
Irrational fear.
As we record this episode, we're a few days past January 26. It's a day that brings a lot of pain for a lot of people in our community. Prime Minister Scott Morrison began the week by announcing that January 26 should continue to be celebrated as our national day, as it was not too flash for convicts either, setting the tone for centuries of Australian fashion. His actual quote was, you know what, when those 12 ships turned up in Sydney, it wasn't a particularly flash day for those people either. Morrison was counting the 11 ships from the First Fleet plus the Ruby Princess. That's what he was doing there. Opposition leader Anthony Albanese retorted by proposing a referendum on the date, suggesting that the best way to overcome division was a constitutional procedure that asked people to pick a side. Indigenous leaders responded to the group chat with a pointed but exhausted reference. They said, please, as per our previous communication, and attached the Uluru Statement from the Heart, which was marked as important, but as of right now is still in the inboxes of leaders, has marked unread. But every year there is slightly more pressure to change the date. Every year there seems to be more people recognising that the 26th of January is not a date to celebrate the nation as a whole. And slowly, as public opinion changes, so will the date. One person who is doing their bit to see the change at grassroots level is Hayley McGuire, who is a Dhurrumbal woman and South Sea Islander, and she's the co-founder of the National Indigenous Youth Education Coalition, and she has a brilliant new campaign to help tell the truth about our history. Hayley McGuire, welcome to Rational Fear.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. So tell us a little bit about this campaign that you've started.
Yeah, so the campaign is called the Learn Our Truth campaign. And basically it's been in the works now for 2 years. My organization went around the country talking with young mob about our experiences in education, and something that kept coming through time and time again was just how erased you feel when you grow up in your deadly black family, getting told the local history, the history of your people, and then you go into the classroom and it's just scratch that. History actually starts at 1788. Yeah, that's pretty much why we started the campaign. There's actually, it's all about working with educators and school leaders to take a pledge to learn our truth.
In the pitch video that you put out, there's a great moment that you use from In My Blood It Runs, which is an incredible documentary, mm-hmm. where the protagonist, Doowon, is learning about Captain Cook. He's a young kid and he's being taught Captain Cook in school. I remember watching that film on the ABC, on ABC iView, and I was like, oh my God, that was the biggest fuck me moment out of the film. I'm like, that is fundamentally wrong to do that to these kids. Did you have a moment like that yourself when you were in primary school?
Yeah, that exact kind of moment is the whole reason why I went into education advocacy and down the education road, was because I was that kid in the classroom like Doowon getting taught about Captain Cook. And mind you, like, I grew up on country, on Darumbal country, and things are changing now, but I never once heard an acknowledgement. I don't think I ever heard the word like Darumbal mentioned in my school. So yeah, I definitely resonated with that whole experience.
Have you, what sort of reaction do you get from students when you go in there, Hayley?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked to mainly young mob, but basically what we're hearing is that when they talk about colonization, it's not so much just the black side of how deadly Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities were pre-colonization. It's about not being honest about what colonization actually meant and what actually happened. You know, people just tend to think that it was like this encounter, you know, like a settlement that happened, but it was really horrific. And, you know, it continues to this day to influence our lives and the types of policies we have and the speeches that our prime ministers give. And so I think that's kind of the biggest thing, is that a lot of mob are just like Doowon. But for the young mob that we did talk to that had a positive experience, completely the opposite, actually felt informed. And a lot of my non-Indigenous friends who I talk to, when I just share about my own story and my own family's story, they actually feel lied to as well. It's an injustice for all young people to expect you to be a full active citizen contributing to the society if you don't know the foundations.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know about you guys. I can't remember learning about country or the local nation of where I grew up in primary school. I do remember dressing up like a convict and being paraded, you know, and like for whatever day it was, and making damper. But that's about it. Like, it's such a weird thing.
We went to like old mine sites.
You are, yeah.
And we're made to like make the damper and put on. And I'm like, now it's a big it's a big pit that's like toxic. That was a school excursion, and also the power plants.
Hayley, is this right? You were saying that Adani was like sponsored your school football team.
Yeah, I'm from Central Queensland, and they sponsored our local basketball stadium.
Did you have to change your name?
No, I will call it Hedgefold Stadium till the day I die. And I'm not even sure. Like, he could be racist. I don't know who that person is, but I'm back in
here. Hayley,
imagine if
it's best not to look that up.
Yeah, I'm just like, there was like an article, it was blocked by a like a pay thing. I'm like, you know what? That's the Lord.
What about Geraldine or Cam? Did you ever learn about country when you were growing up in primary school at all?
I remember we had
we would have a local Indigenous person come and tell us stories and stuff. And it was just one day in the year. So, you know, we learned obviously everything we needed to know in that one day. Also remember our school thought it would be a great idea to do a mural. So a big painting that all of us could be involved in, and it was a dot painting, and we all got to do two dots each. And, you know, that's how we learnt about First Nation artists, was by doing it ourselves.
Indeed. We had a non-Indigenous man play the didgeridoo. That's how we learned about it. That's some great regional Victorian education.
Joe, I actually felt quite lucky, and I thought this was a pretty standard experience. But my school in Brisbane, we actually did like quite a lot of learning about it. Like there was a school just around the corner from us. It was like a Murray. It was called the Murray School, and we used to interact with them quite a lot. And we're like, our school camps and stuff always involved like going to like you know, like local Indigenous people taking us and teaching us about like Indigenous heritage from that area.
Oh, yes.
I thought it was great, and it's like it was a great experience, and I thought it was, but it's like I realize now that is not the norm. I just thought that was part of the curriculum, and it's not.
There is a lot of curriculum in there, but like it's optional.
Like, really?
So, yeah, that's crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so much more interesting than, like, what it, you know, everything else that people are learning.
I know, like, you can learn about ancient Greeks or, you know, like, the Civil War in America. Yeah, like, all of that stuff. But there is, if you squint in the curriculum, you will see those diamonds of First Nations history actually there. I mean, there still needs a lot of work to be done. And I think this is actually, I think the thing with the film as well is like that educator who was in that classroom, that whole school did a big review on their curriculum after seeing it played back to them. And, you know, it's not like the issue of one teacher. This is a systemic issue. You know, it's about how we train our teachers. It's about how the curriculum is structured. It's about the professional development opportunities that we give development opportunities that we give educators once they go into the classrooms. Like there's a lot of moving things that are at play, but I think fundamentally it's about this Australian story that we're so tied to, you know, like the stories of Ned Kelly and you know, it's like this identity thing. And if you start that history lesson from Indigenous sovereignty instead of Terra Nullius, then you've got a completely different conversation happening about how this country came to be.
That is so true. I feel like in 2021, there are lots of conversations happening in lots of workplaces and community groups where that conversation is starting to change and shift, and it feels kind of exciting. Like I'm on the board of a radio station, large youth group, involved, and those conversations are happening on the grassroots level there, and it's kind of affecting everything that we're doing in the station, and that's kind of exciting to kind of see that transformation happen. It just feels like it should be happening a lot faster.
I know, but young people today are just like I'm in a youth organization. We extend the time, like the age ranges as we get older.
Yeah, I turn 40 next year, so I'm still counting myself as a young person. Yeah, young, from 18 to 41, yeah.
the younger young people today are just so incredibly, like, switched on. And, I mean, I was using like Maybelline Dream Map at school for my makeup, and now they've got contours and highlights and like just so much. They're just so ahead of the game. I'm excited for the youth.
Tell us about the Learn Our Truth Kickstarter or Chuffed project you've got going on. And you're currently at 50% of your target of 50 grand, which is incredible.
Yeah, so we're trying to raise funds because at the moment our coalition is obviously volunteer-led and run. And so we really want to make sure that the young people who we engage to really drive the campaign are employed, supported. But also we want to make sure that we can run the campaign throughout the whole year talk with educators, community, students, and really make sure that that student piece is at the center of our work. So yeah, that kind of takes money, which is, yeah, we've been volunteers for like 5 years now, and it's hard to grasp, you know, like, oh, okay, yeah, things cost a thing, like when you want to do them properly. So
yeah,
we're super excited with the level of support we've gotten. So far.
Well, you're currently at 25,000 of your 50K target. If you want to donate to the Learn Our Truth campaign, I'll pop the link in the show notes. It's a really worthy cause, and please spread the link around social media as well. Hayley, thank you so much for joining us on Irrational Fear.
Thank you.
And a big thank you to the rest of our guests, Geraldine Hickey, Cam Duggan, Lewis Hobber. Now, have any of you folks got anything to plug? Geraldine?
Yeah, Bitcoin in the Netherlands. If you want to know about it, jump on my website, geraldinehickey.com.
I would appreciate the traffic.
Yeah, I've got a few gigs coming up, but I think very soon I'll be having a show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Tickets will go on sale for that pretty soon, I hope.
Cam, have you got anything to plug?
Yeah, please listen to the Mug Off podcast. It's red hot stuff happening over there. Give that a listen. Do that with two other guys. I'm also doing a show in the Melbourne International Comedy Festival with Alex Ward, a very funny comedian. It's called Tropical Strength. That'll be because we're both from Queensland, so that makes sense, doesn't it? Pop along to that. I think that's happening the 29th of March to the 4th of April, I think. It's Easter week. Come along. It'll be red hot.
Hayley McGuire, we've already spoken a little bit about Learn Our Truth. Do you want to plug anything else?
Yeah, go also support the coalition at www.niyec.com.
Excellent. Please go check out Learn Our Truth on hashtag Learn Our Truth on social media, and I'll put the link of the Chuff page in the show notes. A big thank you to Road Mikes, Bertha Foundation, Go Neutral, our Patreon supporters. Thank you to Jacob Round, Rupert Dagas, Killian David, Maddie Palmer, and all the folks who chip in on Discord week to week. If you want to help support Irrational Fear, go to irrationalfear.com. And sign up. Also, patreon.com/irrationalfear. Until next week, there's always something to be scared of. Good night.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.